this human, the new nature that God has given to us has to be understood, it has to be fed, it has to be cleansed before it can bear fruit. I'm not saying a mouthful. You are studying in half an hour what seminary students will take 16 weeks of hard studying to discover. That's a real challenge. In the field of theology, this is called hamartiology, meaning the nature of sin, the doctrine of sin, and how it affects us. So anytime we want to look at the nature of this doctrine called pruning, why we need to have it, is because of the sin problem. First, you have to understand yourself physically. Second, you have to understand yourself as a human being, as a spirit, as a psyche. Third, you have to understand what is the old sinful nature. Fourth, you have to understand what is the new nature. Before the five, you can understand the process of pruning. Take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, if we're going to jump from 1 to 5, chances are we get lost. And we're, why like that? Why like that? Why like that? Well, if you were to try to do it on the physical side, on the external side, you miss the point. You have to understand it from a biblical, theological standpoint and work at these things. Then you have a better chance of making sure that your weaknesses can be made strengths. And it is in strength and in health that you will bear fruit best. This is our task this afternoon. All right, any questions you want to ask before we go downstairs and go to your groups? Yes. You want to, pass the mic. Yeah, thanks. You see, we're still not learning the right process. So we've been doing this the same thing again and again. We're still not responding well. We should be by now already, everybody now, then that we have learned the process. Okay, thanks. You might want to pick on the other side so they don't know, just in case. Go ahead, Vince.
Okay, you mentioned four areas in the anatomy of human being.
Yes.
One is the physical. The other one is, I think...
The psyche.
The physical part we understand,
yes.
I think, generally.
Yes.
The psyche, could you give examples of what I mean by psyche?
Okay.
Then the third area is the new nature, again, examples,
okay.
And finally the fourth area. See, problem, I think we have a general idea.
The rest of you, the groups, you do not mind going through these things? Do you want to, or do you want to discuss on your own, and you don't mind going through this? Is it all right? Is it okay? Just, because if you want to go elsewhere, that's fine with me too. Okay? All right, let's turn to this whole idea. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs first, to give you an answer to what the spirit is like. Okay. In Proverbs chapter 20, we have an important text, and it says, "The spirit of a man." Now, it tells us immediately, there is a spirit of a man. Right? And it is distinguished from that which is not. Alright, let's turn to the book of Genesis now. And we read in Genesis chapter 2, for example. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. We are totally biodegradable. That is amazing. You know, we think that we are so complex, and we are totally biodegradable and amazing. We are but dust. You don't believe it? Wait until you die. And you will realize that we are but dust. Okay? But we go on further. And then we see, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The word breath of life in Hebrew is written like this. This is called the Ruach. Okay? And the Ruach is basically what we call the Spirit. This is the equivalent to the word Spirit or the Suke, where we get a word psyche. This is the equivalent. So as long as man is only dust, as he is, he becomes more than that. The word dust is the word afar. But there he becomes a human being, Adam. When God breathed into his nostril the Spirit. Okay? Proverbs 20 tells us what the Spirit is. The Spirit is given by God as a lamp to us. What we do in our life. Does it explain to you the two parts of it? There is your example. There is a physical and there is a spiritual. There's a physical part and the Spirit is given by God. That is our spirit. So when Jesus died, he could say, I commend to you my Spirit. He's God. Does it make sense to you? This whole idea here? Alright, now let's look at the other aspects further and we ask ourselves, what is it that we want to consider as we look into the human being and the changes that could take place in his life? Okay, go ahead.
Considering spirit, can it be described in maybe some features or activity that the spirit does?
Okay. Right? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll see a glimpse of that. Okay? We turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and we take a look at verses 23 and verse 24. Okay? What does it do? Verse 23, we are told that it has to do with the mind. The mind is not the brain. The brain is that 1 kilo stuff that it sits there. And it's more than just the brain. We are talking about the mind. In Greek, we call this the nous. Okay? The idea here, the nous, is to do with the mind. In English, we call this noetic. Okay? Now, this is the spirit of the mind. Now, watch this, renewing the spirit of the mind. In verse 24, and that you put on the new man, that's your new nature. Paul's language is called the new man. Okay? Now this new man here is the new nature that God has given to us. Here we go. Okay? Which was created according to God. It is capable of righteousness and holiness. The physical body is nothing. The physical body does not know what is righteous and what is holy. Because it's a physical body. There's nothing there. What makes the person recognize this is righteous, this is holy? The spirit of the mind of the person. The psyche. Okay? Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Okay? As we read this very carefully, we see a little bit of what it means for us to develop our faith and our life. In verse 9 and verse 10, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power, and we are part of that body. Okay? Now, as we look very carefully in 2:19, we read about how we are nourished, knit together, joints, ligaments, we grow with increase that is from God. Now, we are part of Christ now. This is all part of the new nature that we have now. In chapter 3, in verse 10, we read, "And you have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." So it is capable of knowledge. It is capable of righteousness. It is capable of holiness. This is the realm of the spirit of a man. And that's what we do each Sunday as we worship. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you can be here only physically, but your spirit is not worshiping the Lord, you're doing nothing. You're just occupying space. If you come here only for the lunch, you're only here physically, but your spirit is unblessed. What then nourishes us? What are we nourishing? Each worship experience, each word. The spirit, our spirit is surely encouraged. Is it not? We talk about how God hears and answers prayer. And we have so much to pay all the time, every month, to the banks and all that. And our hearts are lifted up because God moves somebody's heart to help, to give towards these things here. And that moves our heart. We are encouraged, our spirit. Not a body. The body is nothing. It does not know how to respond. It is a spirit. And we see God hearing and answering prayer. And we thank God. It is the spirit always. This is our focus. In the world does not do this. It looks only after the physical side of things. It's caught up with the wrong things. But because we are so much in the world, our problem is that we have almost taken on the things of the world into our life. We call these accretions. When a ship goes out to sail, big ship, mine is not a very nice ship, and it sails through the seas, every few months or a year, they pick up stuff. Not because it wants to, but because whether you'd want to, don't want to, they will come. So, there is this man who always says, suffering barnacles. And he will come, Tintin series, the captain. And he will always talk about this because language of a seaman. And the ship has to come to shore and they have to clean this thing up. If they don't clean this thing up, the ship can leak and it can sink. This is the cleaning process. As long as we live in this world, we will pick up things from the world. And we need to attend to it and see it cleansed all the time. But we are not dealing on the physical part. We are not going to say, okay, please have a special shower, holy water, holy soap, holy towel. And then have it clean, and then off we go. And all the water will have, we need a special septic tank because it's salt contaminated. No, it's not physical. It's all spiritual. If we do not be careful about the spirit of the man, we will become just like the world. And that's what's happening. We have to constantly watch ourselves. That with the Word of God revealing things to us, we know. We understand. For example, this doctrine of the remnant. Why has it become only the remnant? Because ultimately in life, you will see only a small portion left. And God is concerned that a small portion does not take on the things of the world. It's very important. You know, you can come even to this retreat and be very tired. Or you can come and say, you know, I really want to come because I want to learn stuff. And I'm alive because my spirit is alive. Or, it's nothing. That depends upon you. That really depends upon you. And if you want to attend to your spirit or your soul, sometimes it is called. Well, then we appreciate this. Okay? Our focus in Christianity is always on the soul or the spirit of a person, not the physical. Our biggest concern is there, is it not? You see, as we study the human being, we're not just saying, look at the behavior of the person, change the behavior. Then you become a behaviorist. You're looking as if the person is a human, is an animal, which you can change the behavior of. No, we go deeper. We say, the problem is a spirit. The problem is sin. The problem is sin reigns. Sin dominates. And sin refuses to let go without a fight. And God lovingly, gently, graciously, patiently, He takes away the things layer by layer by layer, lovingly, to take away the things so that it can produce the kind of fruit you need to have. That's what it is. Does it make sense to you? You don't want to stand yourself first. If you don't understand what it is that drives you, what is it that makes you different one from the other, we could be barking up the wrong tree all the time. Is that an example to you? Sure.
Sorry for
no problem.
Hogging. Anyone wants a mic, let me know. I'll just pass it to you.
Huh?
Anyone wants a mic, just let me know.
Yeah, okay.
Clarification. What you're saying is that the nature of the new nature that God has given to us is firstly weak.
Wait, hang on a second. I did not say that. Okay. Now, we're talking about the human nature, right? When God made it, He said it was good. In fact, it was very good. It was capable of saying, when Adam sees a horse, he did not mistake it for a mouse. He calls it a horse. Whatever it came to him, and he calls it whatever it is, and he's right. It's capable. He sees Eve, and he doesn't breathe a sigh. This is my... No. And he calls her bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Right? There we go. You know, sorry. This is a word for for men, for example. You know what woman is? You just add another one. And women always add to men. Ever since. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's essentially the same. The point of it all here is that we are looking at what God made man. Now, you say he is weak. No. Man begins as a promise. But when he was proven, he failed. And that's where the sin problem came in. Okay? There is now potential weakness, but not when God first made man. And this weakness is different one person to another. But when you see this, when the new nature comes in, this is so weak, it is incapable of good, incapable of righteousness, incapable of holiness. But when a person is born again, that's what we call born again. Right? He has now a new nature in Christ Jesus, fitted into Christ. Okay? If it feeds in Christ, if it feeds off Christ, it will continue to grow stronger. It will become what it was meant to be. There is your new nature. Hi, everyone. Good to see you. I just want to say hello to him. Just for a while. I haven't seen you for so long. You okay? If they can. I'm sorry about your sister. Yeah. Can you see what we're trying to look at? Okay? So this is a new nature that we're talking about here. But new nature, being born again, is so new. Most of us don't even know what that nature is. You got to know it first. That's why it needs knowledge. Can you see this? When this new nature is fed with knowledge, it grows strong. If it does not have sufficient knowledge, the new nature is not capable of being strong. It needs milk. Moving on to meat. And that's what makes the new nature strong. That's where the knowledge part of it. It needs to understand what it means to be righteous. He knows how to understand right and wrong here. And he grows. Hebrews tells us. He grows mature because he knows how to distinguish right and wrong. And then he grows in that area. The spirit is now learning to grow. Right? But it still has problems of the world. And so Christians come. Problems come. And he sees them, works on them, he controls. He must always be in control. Otherwise he will lose his bearing. You will lose your footing. I'm one of those control people. Yeah, does that make sense to you?
Because there are two. I thought there were two entities. One is the new nature. The other one is the psyche. Are they two? Two things or one thing?
Good. That's a good question. The spirit of a person will always be there. The spirit that you have, you see, when God plants in a new nature, it blends in. You cannot separate the two. You really cannot separate the two. Because, in fact, you cannot separate the three. Because there is a physical part. The why we speak the physical part, for example, let us say that the physical part is weak because you have not disciplined it to be strong. Even though you have a strong spirit, the physical body being weak will affect the spirit, the strength of the spirit. So you need a combination of all. The physical, the mental, the spiritual, whatever. All parts are related. That you form one whole being. Okay? So whatever it is that is of the human nature that had been flawed, we now have the human nature new. But it is part of the whole being called physical body and spirit.
Pastor?
Yeah. Sorry, yes.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Was it you mentioning about how when we have the new nature, the sinful nature is taken away?
Yes.
And the human nature now has a sin principle?
Yes, because of sin.
Okay. So when we ask the Lord to cleanse us?
Yes.
What actually happens to the sin principle? The sin principle doesn't go away, right?
No.
So what is actually cleansing? When we say we are cleansing,
okay. Now
what happens to the sin principle?
Sure. When we sin, okay, let us say whatever that means, whatever it is, let's say that you like to gossip, the worst thing, okay? You are a big gossip. And you're there and you love to gossip, you know. You just cannot but look at people with the idea of gossiping. You look at a person's hair for the gossip. Well, look at a person's clothes for the gossip. You just cannot, you must say something. And this is the sin of the tongue, let us say. Huh? Now, this is the sin of the tongue. Let's say this is the easy one because this tongue problem, James deals with quite a bit. It is a very, very big problem. And you'd be surprised how far it will go, this sin tongue problem. What does God do? Does He take away the tongue? No. Does He give ulcers? No, because email also can also do it. You can spread all sorts of things. You don't use a physical part of it. The physical part will always remain. Let's try. The physical will remain. Now, there is a change. Last time, the old nature, you cannot help but gossip. And that's what people do. This blogging thing, taking video pictures of people, sending to everybody. That's a terrible thing to do. Right? I mean, it's really so bad that... But the point is, some people take delight in silly things like that. And they are so... I mean, it's just awful. Suddenly, this person is changed. He becomes born again. He is a new man. What happens? A, mercifully, the records against you will be expunged. How nice. It's all forgiven. Thank God for this. Satan will be there, of course, accuser of the brethren. He will keep accusing you. He won't stop. And you have to turn to the Lord. Thank God there is forgiveness. There is blotting out of our sin. But that's not all. You need to do a number of things as you pray. You have to ask the Lord to create a new spirit inside you. One that will no longer will you gossip. No longer will you say, I love gossiping. It is distasteful to you. You have a distaste towards it. I will not do it. You know what? I am not interested. I will not do this. You now have a new spirit. It is highborn. We call this eugenesis or eugenia. You know, you have a new spirit. It is a good one. It is beneath you. I will not do this. You see, this has changed inside you. So this is what happens when we come to the Lord for forgiveness. Will He take away our sin? Yes. But the tendency is that it will still be there until the new spirit has been created in you. You have developed this and you are free. You will not be tempted by these things. You will not gossip ever again. That's where the pruning process takes place. Okay? So last time, you used to gossip 10 times a day. And then you cut it down to 5 times. You mustn't say, oh, I'm better already. No, you are not. You're still destroying a lot of lives along the way. Okay? That is 0 time. But you still struggle. I'm so tempted. No, you must go from this until you are in the totally, hey, this is absent from me. It's alien. I don't even know how to. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to deal with it. You know, you're not going to enter into the territory. You're so far away. It's totally, you outdistance the sin problem. It's no longer there. And that's wonderful. You see the whole idea? But this is a pruning process. The Lord will tell you, don't do that. And you say, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I will plan not to do that. I'll pray about it. Now 50%, now 40%, 30%, 20%, until not only 0%, now you go into the plus factor. This is now a strong nature. Good things, good things, good things, strong things. Rich things, holy things, righteous things. Then you see the new nature. This is the work of pruning. Here would be bearing fruit. So uplifting, so encouraging, so, you know, this is so wonderful. You enter into the presence of a person and your soul is uplifted. Wow, this is such a great, you're good company now. Everything about you is so refreshing. This is fruitfulness. Not just forgiveness and blotting out our sins. But it takes time to move from one step to another until we are here. Can you see this? And this is the rich part of it. For we are moving from all this sinful thing, forgiveness part of it, until we come to where it is. And therein is our joy. It's here where we begin to bear fruit. But remember, the pruning process is there. Many people work only on forgiveness. Thank God I'm forgiven. And He has forgiven. And then we go into, okay, I won't do that anymore. Oh no, more than that. You're not bearing fruit here. You're bearing fruit here. When you have not only totally replaced, you have put on something new. In knowledge, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, you are a totally different person. This is where you begin to bear fruit. Does that answer your question?
So, Pastor, the sin principle with reference to gossiping, if you come to the stage where you're bearing fruit, the sin principle of gossiping does not affect you anymore.
Okay, alright, if you're looking at a sin principle, the problem with a sin principle is that there are many, many parts of us that can go wrong. For example, okay, let's see the things that can go wrong. We are no longer gossiping. Okay, we are not going to do that. But things can go wrong when we start getting angry with people who gossip. You see? And then you start having a critical spirit and you start criticizing people who gossip. And you can say, last time I gossiped, now I don't, you are gossiping, you are wrong, and now you are gossiping in a different form. There you go. This is what could go wrong. You see, the principle of sin is that the nature of sin is such, it is capable of many transformations. It can keep on transforming itself to trap you all the time. Or it can make you afraid. Last time I sinned, I gossiped, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to talk anymore. Can it happen? Yes. I've actually seen this happening. You swing to the extreme, won't touch it. So the variations are so many, it is impossible to know what it is. But every time it comes up, you prune. You prune. You keep pruning. You keep cleansing. The work of cleansing. You keep doing this work. That's where the challenge is. And that's how we improve all the time. You see the challenge of it all? The pruning process is God's way of saying, as you plan to improve your life, you're going to see problems, obstacles, and challenges. Okay? Now, it's very important. Anything could happen. Today, we see a very, very nice Rachel. One day, she becomes a top lawyer. And then Pastor Charlie comes to ask her for some help. And she says, "Who is that now?" And so she sees me and she says, "I must tell you, my fee, first appearance in court is $10,000. Can you afford me?" You see, can Rachel change to the other extreme? Yes. Don't say no. She works at it and she says, "I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. I can overcome this." That's how you begin to work at it. It could happen to anybody. I mean, you can happen to anybody. I've seen people at the top of the profession who changed so much, you can barely recognize them. Is this the person? Yes. So we keep on changing. Here is the person, and then he changes in so many ways. Before marriage, after marriage, after children, after a certain age, after business deals, after success, after failure, a person is constantly changing. We are all constantly changing all the time. Unless you prune, unless you are careful in the pruning process, you can swing and go off very quickly. You've got to watch all the time. That's why we go to church. So we learn what the Lord is speaking to me right now. How am I changing? How am I growing? How should I change? And that's what the pruning process is. Generally in the church, personally on your own, with somebody who is going to mentor you, will teach you things and help you to become aware of that which you may not even be aware of, and show you how to overcome. Because there are practical steps involved in how do you do this. Okay, how do I stop this gossiping habit? You cannot say, "Lord, take it away." It won't go away. So you slowly got to take one step at a time, one after the other. The pruning is always a practical process. And all those things that I wrote, I spoke to you about how Jesus would do it in John 15 will come in. And we're going to see all the difference that it will make along these lines. And we will see all the changes. Okay? Alright, any questions you want to ask to this matter here? Can you see this whole idea of this pruning process? It could go anywhere, you know? I mean, it could be... Some people ask me, why is it that, you know, some people think that I am slim. Actually, I'm not. Okay, now I'll tell you why I don't want to be big. I told you, this is some of you already. One day, when I went to receive a call, somebody asked me, I think my husband had a heart attack, can I please come? So I went over down there, called the ambulance for them. The person came. Ambulance, only two people. She said, "Wow, a bit heavy. Can you help to carry?" Well, he was not a very big person, but he was heavy. And I just, in my mind, multiplied. If I am bigger than this. You know how you are? When people carry you on the lift in the stretcher, they're very unceremonious. You know, sometimes you go to the hospital, you see people on the stretcher, they trundle the person from to the surgery and all that. They do funny things to people there, you know. I've seen people tickle the feet. I mean, these are attendants, you know, they push here, push here. I mean, they do funny things. And then, tuk, 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 you know. All sorts of things. Ah, and some part of it, you know, some of them grumble, oh, ani pui. Yeah, they say funny things about the person, and so I've seen them. Okay, heave ho, 1, 2, 3, shift kind of thing. And so I've seen them. When I see all these things in my mind, it is such so undignified. So I thought I will help whoever is going to have to carry me later on by being slim, so that they won't say, "Oh, I need this pastor very fat one." No. They won't. I mean, you know, so this is what I don't want to be. I don't want people to... And I know I had the experience of that. So I have to help carry people, and then it's not so good. Well, you know, we all learn how to do whatever we need to do. So back in my mind, so if I want to keep slim, back in my mind, I do certain things. I move certain ways to make sure that I don't go that way. So part of it is mind, part of it is the psychology part of me, the psychological part of me, that is my mental reserve, and only in order to achieve what I want. Okay? In order to achieve what I want. It's a combination of factors. It's never just one. Okay? Part of it is vanity too. Not in the wrong sense of the word. Right? Well, these are things that you want to work at. Are any questions you want to ask on this matter here? It's a bit more complex than we imagined. The pruning process is very, very challenging. And please do not tell me that we all already don't need much to prune. You'll be surprised how many areas in our life needs pruning. You'll really be surprised. How much self there is. How much of the world we have inside us. How much of the sin, many, many sins from a lifetime of sin. How much of Satan's influence. All of these things, each one, if we just take 10 areas in which we are affected, we already have got 40 areas. 40 wounds. Where would the doctor start to deal with you? It's tough. Along the way, one day I was driving along Bredel Road. Now it's Ang Mo Kio Avenue 5 coming over to Seletar Hills area. You know, and there was a little accident down there. Nothing very much, very little accident. You know, involving an old lady and a young lady. Old lady, more injured. This one, just dazed. All the young men came to see the young lady. The old lady put her prop up on a chair, prop up on the tree, that's it. They all attending to her. You see? There we go. That's how it is. Unfortunately. That's a human being. You think he's really interested in helping? No, because this one looks quite pretty. Unfortunately. Or we can swing to their extreme where we think that we are so otherworldly. One day I saw a lady, and she, very strange lady. First, her hair was very different, so many colors. Secondly, the clothes just didn't match. You know, the top and the pants just didn't match. Then plus wear boots. Then I was so strange. Well, I was driving past her into CTE, and I was horrified because this was like not a young person. This person probably older than me. And I couldn't understand. I couldn't appreciate that. Why this person, you know, so much older want to look like that. See, that's me. I need pruning in that area. I will confess to you, I need pruning because this no good, you see. I should be more, I don't know what it is, but I don't have it. I don't know what it is I'm supposed to have, but I don't have it. I can tell you, I don't have it. So the Lord has to help me to prune the areas in my life. Hey, have you seen people like that before? You haven't seen that? Huh? Vincent, you ever seen people like that?
Did the old lady that just now, the proverb with the tree dressed like that?
No, two different scenarios. Okay. Two different scenarios. But you see what I'm trying to say? Yeah, I mutton dressed like lamb. I dare not to put words into, but I know, you see, that I am quite not that I want to think that way. It's just that it suggests itself. You see what I'm trying to say? So I have a lot pissed off now. I must not think like that. And because you never know, the person can appear in church. Then what shall we do? And we have to go to the person. And it's not so easy. Maybe I will send the person over to Terrence, such a big heart. Here, Terrence, help. I don't know, because I know I would have difficulty. Sometimes I would have difficulty just... all of us have got many, many areas. As I said, we got 30, 40 areas in our life that we need changing on. The Lord needs to prune us on this. It's not easy. It really is not. The first time you deal with people and then you look at this, you hear people, you've never seen an AIDS patient. You don't know what it means. And you feel, do I shake the hands of the person or not? And it's hard. But you learn to overcome it and say, no, there's nothing wrong. I remember many years ago when I was speaking at a place called Cebu over in Sarawak. And this person was a young lady, just barely out of her teens. When she was at 14 years old, she was told that she was going to be given a job, but she did not get a job. And she was physically molested, assaulted, gang raped, so that she was numb and she was made a sex worker. When she was 19, 20 years old, she was a spent force. And one day she came to the meeting that we were having, a gospel meeting, and she came and she asked, do you think God can forgive me? And I said, yes. And she held out her hand to me to say thank you. You know, I had trouble shaking her hands. That's me. And God had to tell me, that's not what you should be doing. So I shook her hands finally. And she said, this is the first time she's ever had anyone shake her hands without wrong ideas in her mind. It meant a lot to her, and tears came. God has to change our hearts, our minds along the way many, 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 many times over. And every time the change takes place, it's called the pruning process. Whatever it is. You can go overseas and study and think that you are up there. You can go to the university, you go to a good course, and you look down on other people. Lots of things can change us. You'll be surprised how much cleansing we need, how much pruning we need in our life. That is a sin principle at work. How do we distinguish the sin principle and the old nature? In the old nature, you cannot control yourself. You will not find an answer. You will fail 100 times out of 100 chances. But in the new nature, in the new being, you will succeed. You can succeed. you can be different. You are different. You begin to produce fruit in your life. You're different from here onwards. How wonderful it is. So refreshing it is to know this truth, is it not? But you must not think that these changes will take place tomorrow or today. And then, it's over. No, it's not. For some, it is more quickly. It's done more quickly than other people. But it's still, in a deeper analysis, it will take time. But changes, transformations, that continues to be God's forte. That's God's work. That's God's strength. That's what He does. Okay? So please don't give up on your children. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on anybody. We may see, it may be painful, but you've got to let God do His part. Okay? Now, while you cannot judge other people, you must remember, you are responsible for your plans, for your own life. And you have to pray. And God will do His part, and His part of His answer is that He will prune our life. He will, as you pray and you say, Lord, I want to overcome this, He will prune your life. But you have to bring to Him whatever it is in prayer, whatever it is you want to bring to Him. And He will prune your life, 1, 2, 3, for whatever that area may be. And that's the wonderful part. Is there a makeover situation for everybody? Yes. Can I still succeed? Yes. But you may not have the measure of success as a person who has been at it for a long time. But there will be some measure of victory and fruit. Maybe your lifespan being what it is, so much gone already, you will not have a longer lifespan of bearing fruit, but you can still bear fruit. But when you start young and early, you have a far longer lifespan to bear fruit all the time. The question is now quantity besides quality. Can you see the whole idea of the fruit-bearing process? Okay? So this pruning process is when we look at our life and we say, you know, I'm being blocked here, and this is not good, this is not good, I've got to change. We pray, Lord, help me. God will say, okay, I'm going to work in your life, I'm going to prune your life, I'm going to cleanse your life from this. Okay, there we go. Now, all these things, those principles that I'm going to share with you, they're all interrelated. They're all locked in one to the other. It's really an interlocking thing. Okay, all right, any questions? Any other questions you want to ask? Anybody?
Pastor, just one question.
Sure, go ahead.
In our church, we learn a lot. We studied a lot, word a lot.
Yep.
And at least we are taught a lot.
Yep.
But you also talk about bearing fruit a lot.
Yep.
I guess you have concerns about us bearing fruits.
Yes.
And there seems to be below expectations in us bearing fruits. Current status.
My idea of fruit bearing is every tree laden. Oh, okay. So laden. You just go down there, it will just drop and eat. That's my idea of the thing here, a cluster. Are we all there yet? No.
Okay, the question is, we all are learning a lot. We attend Bible study, we attend prayer meeting, we attend worship service, Sunday school.
Right.
So many programs in church.
Yeah.
What are the common reasons why people don't bear fruit after attending and listening so many messages?
Okay. There are lots of reasons. There are really lots of reasons. Let me take you into James 1 for a while. Okay. James 1:21. Let's take a look at this problem here. And James deals with a lot of these areas. Here we go. Verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift from above comes down from the Father of lights. Of His own He brought us forth, right? That we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Okay? So God's design for us in His salvation is that we will be first fruits. Alright? In our lives. When we are first fruits, we actually will be able to tell other people, this is what it means to be a Christian. Hopefully others will desire the same thing. Now, how does it work? Verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. One of the biggest problems that James dealt with in his epistle is that there are more people who are hearers than they are doers. Hearers, at most time, 80% hearers. Doers, 20%. Out of the 20% who attend to hear and to do, again you have further division. Not very many people are actually doers, unfortunately. I mean, something that we need. Let's say we have got 600 people, and say 60 people attend. That's only 10%. Where are the 90? The hearers. That problem has existed from the first century until now. There are more hearers than there are doers. When will they move from hearing to doing? A pruning process needs to take place. You see, it is not true that there are people who will, just because they come, some people come to prayer meeting, Bible study, out of habit. Some people will come with a friend or a family member. Some people come because of needs. The needs are no more, they don't come. How many really want to come because they really want to know, to learn, they want to be faithfully doing their part? Not very many. There's always a sad thing. The remnant principle still exists. So you mustn't think that we are already there. Spiritually, you know, we are church, we're already there. No. We may have a stronger base. We may have a stronger core than a lot of other people. But it's still a core. The bulk of it is still not there. There is a difference between your bulk, which is very often peripheral. All the time. You can go down the line. Whether it is the matter of lunch, you will find that the same number of people who will want to remember their birthdays, their anniversaries, their whatever. And there are lots of people who will eat and not think about giving. Not think about it. Are there many? Yes. They figure, that's okay. They are not even mindful, not even grateful. We just expect it to be there. That is a human heart. And then when they eat, they just eat. I don't like, I throw. It's free after all. That's a human heart. In the best of churches, this happens. And parents, never mind, I throw away. Parents, thank you very much. And they grow. And the children grow up like that. Can it happen that way? Yes. We got to watch it all the time, prune. Last night, after the meeting we had, I mean, all the flaws, I mean, the cars were all, you can park anywhere up to basin 3 and 4. We don't. We park it, and it was very hard to get out. Please, park properly. What does it take to park properly? Prune. That's what we're looking at. There's so many areas. Now that we have got downstairs all the things which I'm putting down there, we can put in nicely. We just throw whatever is there. Prune again. We got to keep pruning. If we don't do this, we'll just sink down. We've got to keep the standards up all the time. You don't work at Christmas, it will just slip and down. Ah, never mind, tired. You got to work at it. If you don't work at it, pruning is keeping, is maintenance work. Pruning is advancement work. You do not prune, we will just go down the drain. You want to watch how you work? Very simple. Remember we went to Ahud Road, and the first month, we'll see what will happen after a meal, after the worship, sorry, no meal, people just disappear. The moment I saw that, I said, stop. Don't do it. We have to provide lunch somehow. And it cost us 4 figures to provide one lunch at Ahud Road. For every lunch. We couldn't afford it every week. But we've got to try. And we did. And we've lost hardly anybody, although we moved from one place to another place. That's important. We got to keep at it. So the process of keeping up all these things, all the time, every year, the standard, all the time, is there. See, the pruning process is not just cleansing, it's also maintenance all the time. The cleansing part of it has to be done. Otherwise, we're just going to lose the edge. Ladies, the same thing. You know, before you're married, you're very careful. After you're married, you're not so careful. Be careful, even more so. If you don't, you will be the lady I met along the road. And I hope it is not any of you. Okay? So if you happen to be Michelle, I'll tell her directly. Okay? Of course you don't want it to happen, but there you go, it can happen. Alright, any question? Any other questions you want to ask? Does it answer your question, Wins? It really, looking after a church, maintaining the church, the certain size, certain standard, is no easy task. You have to be really on the ball all the time. But we are using the holiday period to pour in energy to do what? If we don't attempt these things here, we'll always just be, just take it easy. Ah, hooray, public holiday. Ah, take a break from church. You can go that way. You can feel that way. We'll not allow that to happen. We'll not allow that to happen. Work even harder. At any time. You're always thinking, now how can I be on the cutting edge? And any company knows it. You are not on the cutting edge. You are out. You don't have a value-added thing. You are out. It doesn't matter how big your name is in the past. You can go. Look at Sony. Sony is right now in serious trouble where it used to beat everybody else, is now, it doesn't know how to maintain its. It used to break into transistorized radio thing here. Everything is transistorized. But now it's come to a standstill. It doesn't know how to go beyond that. So they hired a Harvard MBA fellow to helm the thing. It got worse. So they interviewed the professor who, this was his student, interviewed the professor. And they said, what's wrong? He said, well, his model was wrong. And it's now in serious trouble. Look at it, GM. After all these years, it's gone down the drain. They are producing cars. Doesn't matter. The bigger, the better. It looks nicer. The problem is oil price. You can't maintain it. You drive it out to the garage, 1 gallon gone. You can't afford it. So what do? It becomes a problem. It could be Airbus. Same thing here. And they lose hundreds of millions because you cannot keep up with the thing here. And they are all... So it's the same thing in any company. What makes you think it won't happen to the church? We often imagine that the church will always be strong and steady because God will bless it. Wrong! We are responsible. We have to plan. We have to pray. God has to prune. We prune. We prune committees. We prune Sunday school teachers. We prune churches. We prune pastors. Same principle. If the person doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to serve the Lord, then how? You're going to let the person sit there? The principle applies to everybody, including the senior pastor. The principle of pruning always exists. If you don't, you're out. Elijah had Elisha. Elisha is known as he who washed the hands of Elijah. He had Gehazi. And that was all. The ministry of Elisha ended with him being dead. Could it happen? Yes. At any time, at any church, in any realm, in any era. I just don't want to let it happen to on my watch. So I will be always pruning. We have no choice. It is a principle of fruitfulness. The branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That is consistently not bearing fruit, he takes away. He has to. Because it is a biblical principle. It is a biblical teaching. The more you say that, it's very harsh. No, it's not harsh. It's just a biblical principle. You are responsible. All the seven churches, the churches that went down flat on his face, the Lord says to the angel of the church, you are responsible, as well as the members. So we are responsible. I hope you understand the whole idea of the pruning principle. It exists. And I cannot but do what the Lord's word teaches, and I must watch out for it. Let us say you come as a session member. We've got 12 session meetings a year, sometimes more. And you absent yourself 11 times. And what shall I do with him? Huh? Put you there. In place of him. I didn't say that. You're right. And we can, it's not going to just simply let it go like that. You sometimes win. We can't let it go like that. We can't. I mean, it just goes to show with us. Let's say that Kenneth comes to preach. And he preaches how Jesus was born in Jerusalem. Because it is the city of David. He was promised to be born in the city of David. And the wise men were right. They were right. They went to the right place. I hope you will tell me. I'll sit on him. I will ask him to explain himself. And if he still insists he's right, see, Matthew principle apply, one on one. I'll call the other pastors. Okay, now, two or three witnesses. He still insists he's right. Or he preaches, all right, we give him a chance. He preaches, I'm feeding on a multitude. I was in Burma. The first feeding, 5,000, the Jews. Second feeding, 4,000, the Gentiles. Excuse me? Where do you hear that from? Yes, people are preaching it. There's nothing doing. But he also preaches the same message. Twice already. He's been warned. He still persists. What shall we do with him? He's got no wife to say, send me in his place. What shall we do? We will have to tell the mom. We'll say, Auntie Maureen, your son is in great danger of being a false teacher. Okay? Before he is ordained, we are going not to ordain him. In fact, we will dismiss him. Is it wrong? Is it wrong? Oh, you don't have enough love. I spell love. This. Because we cannot afford to be on the pulpit there and not know what you're talking about. You're not ready, you're not prepared, you've done your homework, you go down there and say whatever you want to say. Cannot go down there and say, you know, Goliath killed David. You can't get away with it. You can't. We're going to know why. You're talking like that. Okay? Maybe he's got a brain tumor. In which case, we help him out. We collect money, send him to a best neuro. Maybe he's got a mental problem. Maybe he's just not called. We want to know. We've got to do our part. Hence, every morning we meet with him. Every morning we study the Lord's Word. And as we study the Lord's Word, we pattern our life one after the other. And the things which need to be corrected must be corrected. That's a whole pruning process. It's hard. But it must be done. You see the principle here? This is God's paradigm. We're all responsible. We're all held responsible. Right? Anything else you want to raise up on this matter, his whole idea or this principle being it? Remember, what a paradigm is. These things apply. We've got to be responsible for our faith, our life, our fruitfulness. Because God has made it all possible for us already. Now it's up to us. And if we will not do our part, then we have only ourselves to blame. Please understand this. We have got 70 years of life. Teach you another principle of how to plan. You've got to plan. It's what we call the prime years of life. Whatever you want to achieve, you must achieve here. Because as you grow older, the prime is no more. You will start to decline in terms of strength, in terms of energy, whatever it is. You've got to make use of that prime time. The Levitical principle, the prime years were from 30 to 50. I made sure that this 20 years of prime time, I would have understood and mastered all the things that I need to master. I do not have to master these things after. From here onwards, I serve, utilizing what I have already mastered. Prime time. So when you start going out to work at 20 plus, slightly different here. Maybe our prime time, because of lifespan, we have 30 years of prime time. That's all you have. After which, you want to try to do, you don't have the physical strength for it. This is planning. Plan prime time, young people. You are in the prime of your life. Make use of your prime years. Work a little harder, save a little more, spend a little less, don't always think of fun. You will be far better off when you are in the not prime years of your life. You don't have to worry so much because you've done your time. You've made hay while the sun shines. The night comes, no man can work. Make use of your life. Know your stuff. Do well. Okay? Now I'll show you another principle of how to plan. It's called redeem the days principle. And this redeem principle, the redemption principle, means that you have already fallen on hard times and you have, one, wasted the years. Okay, now you are in serious trouble. It's called weight problem. The only principle right now that you have is called you have to redeem the time because the days are evil. Your planning is now different. You don't have the strength to do the things you're going to do. You cannot repeat mistakes. You cannot make too many mistakes. They've already been made. You've got to learn from them and make this window period. Wasted is gone. You only have the window period. And it is not going to be done by IR. I am going to make it. I'll just gamble bigger. And I'll gain back all the money. It's not true. You're going to get worse. You only have a window of opportunity left. You've got to make it count. Or fail. Completely. That's all you have. So you have your very tight leash. You have to work very carefully from here. Can you still do it? Yes. But here, the factor of God, the factor of faith, must come in most prominently, plus a lot more work on your part to make up a little more. Okay? So when you're in your prime time, your boss only asks you for 8, you put in 10 hours. And the 2 extra hours, they've helped you a great deal. Later on, when you appear, if you want to put in 8 hours, you can't even put in 10. You can't. You don't have the strength to do it. It's too late then. You see, life is like that. You don't seize the opportunity, it's gone. So we must. We really must. We have to bring God in. And as you plan, as you pray, you understand And God will give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge to know how to use you, whatever time, whatever of life is left for you to bear some fruit before you return to the Maker. Okay? And it's so, I mean, I'm looking at your lives, young people. I'm just seeing what tremendous potential you all have. It's just amazing what you have given to you. Just don't blow it. Okay? Don't waste the opportunities that are yours. Don't throw all these things away for whatever reason. It's just not worth it. Fruitfulness as your goal must be in your mind all the time. And then understand principle. Plan, pray, prune. These are important principles that you must work in your life. Out in the business world, they don't pray very much. But they will call you, they will tell you whatever it is. They will plan, and they will cut the cost, prune, all the time. Principles applies in the working world as well. Okay? All right. Go ahead. I'm surprised you're not asking more questions. Go and ask. Anybody? I hope you understand what it means for us to be truly believers in the Lord and His Word. And you mustn't think that it's just we don't have to do anything. God is going to lead us and He's going to bless us. You know, the opportunities will come our way and you know, we just pray and trust the Lord. Things will turn out. Maybe we are reading different Bibles. No, we are all responsible. Okay? Anything else you want to raise up? Is this helpful to you? Is this a real challenge to your heart? You're going to plan your... Try. Practice. Plan your day. Pray, practice, plan your week. Try, plan your year. So I have this already. I got January, February, March, April, May, June. I've already planned. 2007. Of course, barring that, a lot of things could happen. Baskran, please fix the date. When's the camp coming up? March, what are we going to do? The theme has already been announced to the session members. March. April, already planning for the Easter gospel outreach. And once we are there, we're already into junior camp, thinking what new feature we're going to have to develop to the children's program. We must. Okay? 7 years. First year's done. First year, we already got a bus. First year, I try to plan to return the funds. We have seen people lending to us interest-free by the hundreds of thousands. Thank God for all these answers to prayer. We need all these answers. Really challenging. Our part is to pray, remember? And God will do His part in providing as well. It's all happening. It's all happening in a 7-year program. We constantly work at it. So this will give you a glimpse as to what pastoral work is like. You must not think we just sit down there and pray and do nothing. Nah. We have to plan very, very carefully. And then we have to pray. Once we pass a 7-year period, we have now, we are debt free in 7 years. Now, Bethany has to be prepared for an affluent church situation. And we are not careful. We're going into, you are rich, but I tell you, you are poor. Can it happen? Yes. All these things are signals to us. We prepare ahead of time and prevent this prune so that it will not happen to us. This is church planning too, you know. You must not think just pastor just go down there and then he doesn't do anything. He was so free. Only go down there and preach one Sunday and the rest of the week free. That's absolutely not true. It makes sense to you? We are responsible for the planning part of it. And God will help us to prune all these things, which could cause us to be not producing fruit. Right? Questions? No? No? After a while, you look tired. I always wonder why. Okay? Okay? If not, I'm going to let you go. We're going to pray. And if you want to go down, discuss on your own, have a bit of tea. Or prepare, you know, how to use a Sunday. You want to sing together for a while? You let me know. I mean, that's fine. I'll be very happy to sing with you just for the sheer joy of it all and then prepare for the evening. That would be wonderful. You want to ask about the church further? You know, what we're going to do? What we're going to have? It'll be exciting. See, we seldom have a Sunday free like this. Huh? We can just sit down here and just enjoy the moment. I want to introduce to you Brother Mohan there. Would you come and stand up here? Mohan used to be with us in church been with us for a long time until he went over to England. And he's more English than he is. Say hello to everybody.
Hello everybody.
Yeah.
I was one of the pioneers of the Bethany Church when we ever started.
Seletar Hills.
Yeah.
That was many, many years ago. I've been in London for 22 years, so it was well before that.
Yes. Do you recognize anybody?
Yes, I did recognize a few people.
Like who?
There's Emily up there.
Okay. All right.
Diana.
There we go.
Annie, I think. And
there we go.
Forgot some of their names.
That's all right.
Carol, is it?
Carol, wow. He's still... Who else?
I don't know where all the boys...
Yeah, good question. Where
Mark or Mitch?
This Mitch there. Mitch has become one of our pastors.
Yeah.
It's Mark.
Oh, yeah, okay. They used to be this little when...
There we go.
When I was there.
Yeah.
And now they are pastors of the church.
Right.
You know, so something is happening well at Bethany.
Yes. How long will we be here?
Oh, just a few more days.
Yeah. Mohan's sister passed on, came on the papers, former director of SOS. She passed on with a cancer problem, and Mohan flew back to be with the family for a while. It was just so nice of him to just drop by and just to say hello. He's still doing audit work?
No. But I'm a financial advisor.
Yeah, okay. He used to do audit work. He used to have him and he would do audit work for all over the place and then works.
Well, I used to audit the Bethany Church accounts as well.
Yes, you did, didn't you? Yeah. we engage professional auditors now, because we just send everything over and out so that they can examine everything, which is a good principle. Well, we see a lot of newer people, and just glad he's here with you. Two family, children?
No. I'm married.
Yeah, but no children.
No children.
Okay.
And my wife is back in London.
Okay. Good news. All right. What's she doing there?
She's an accountant.
Oh, okay. She's an accountant, and so they advise each other financially. Right? That sounds like a good thing. Okay, which part of England are you?
London.
London itself. Oof. That's a really, really tough city to be in. But you've been there for 22 years, so you know how to get around.
Yeah, if anybody from Bethany were to come over to London for studies or whatever, I could leave my contact details.
She's in London itself? Yeah. Looking for a place. Yvette's looking for a church, and she is just so upset. The church says she's worshipping at, and the pastor shouts at God. So she is just so upset that she says, I don't know what to do with this. So maybe we'll just let you know. Yeah, give us your email or your address or something like that.
Yeah, I'll do that.
That would be good. Good. Well, let's pray together, and let's go downstairs and have a bit of fellowship with Mohan too. Let's pray together. Our Father, we just want to thank you so much for your goodness to us all our life. And somehow we don't know how to appreciate your goodness. So we ask you indeed, Lord, to prune our lives so that we will bring forth much more fruit than we are now producing. Pray that you would enrich our hearts, our lives, individually and as a church. Pray that you would encourage us, teach us further principles of how to look at our life so that we can improve a greater sense of fruitfulness. Refresh us with this break, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got tea downstairs, right? Okay, and you want to meet with the group, still possible. You want to sing together? That's great too. Okay, and then it'll be just take a break.